So first of all, I want to just say thanks again to all of you. Thanks to Joyce for being a good sport about what are we going to do, and for all of her other work that she's done for the church for years and years and years. And that goes for all of you, yes, Mike included, and really pretty much everybody here. And also to the musicians who virtually never say no. You ask them, do you want to play in church? They absolutely. It's not like they don't do music. It's just that there's something about a church service. It's a very different musical experience. It's not a performance. It's a way of communicating and being with people that's really unique. And so I'm so honored that they always say yes. So the board, as you probably know if you've been tuned in, has been working on a sort of a vision process the last 5 or 6 months again. And you know that nonprofit organizations do this all the time. They do these vision processes, missions, and they work for hours and days and weeks and months. They write up stuff and they put it up, and then everything goes back the way it usually was. That's just kind of normal for the course. We're in a situation where we can't quite do that. We kind of know that the way we've always done things is not sustainable now. And that's not just us. I mean, churches across the country are having the same thing of aging memberships, declining pledges. And it's hard to get people out on Sunday mornings for all kinds of reasons. We all know these reasons. They have to do with changes in the way people do the workforce. They have to do with the way that families schedule themselves. The traditional Sunday morning service centered church is just not the same thing as it was 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. So the board has been saying to itself and to each other, what are we going to do, right? How are we going to move forward? We value our congregation and we value our church, and we think we have something to offer. But the question is, how are we going to do that? What in this particular era, what is our vision going to be, and how are we going to fulfill that? We're pretty clear that the purpose of our church is to nurture the spiritual health of our congregation and the community. And by the community, I mean Meadville and beyond. So that means it's pretty clear. And we know that one of the great spiritual values is generosity, is reaching out. And so we've been thinking a lot about how to do this. You've gotten some mailings about this. I'm just going to summarize what we've done so far, and then I'm going to go into what I think are the spiritual foundations of this and why I think it's going to keep us alive. Basically, the proposal is very simple. I mean, it's nothing radical. We're not going to take the church down or anything like this. What we just do is the church has said, look, we need to reorient in a slight but profound way so that our vision is not just about us and our vision and our mission and our ideas and what we want to bring to the community, but it's about looking outwards. So in a certain way, blurring a little bit the definitions or the distinctions between who's us and who's them. You know, with one of the things that's really needed these days is places and forums and connections where people can talk to each other, especially people who are different from each other, politically especially, but also in other ways. And you know, we use in our tradition, the UU tradition, you hear a lot of the term like-minded people. Well, we need to spend more time with people who are not like-minded, I think. And so I'm not saying that our church is going to be a vastly different place, but the idea is to reorient ourselves a little bit. The other main thrust of the proposal, which you've seen and you'll see again because you'll have opportunity to comment on it and change it and all of that as the fall goes on, is that we recognize we can't do things alone anymore. I mean, there may have been a time when we could just say, look, we're going to dream up this project and carry it out, kind of like the people in the story. But we're too small right now. And the problems are too big. And the needs are too great. I mean, on the board, you know, there's only one of us that's younger than 60. And it's not me. Right, so it's like we can't imagine. We don't know what's needed in the Meadville and community and beyond. We don't know because we're just a few of us, and that goes for our congregation too. So, reaching out and joining hands with other individuals and other groups and forming partnerships, I think, is a central thrust of this proposal. And I know it's not habitual. When I worked for the UUA, it was terrible getting congregations even to talk to other UU congregations. Right? That we just couldn't get them. Then in California, they're right next to each other too. They're like 3 miles away. There's another. We couldn't get them to talk to each other. But here in Meadville, I think it's going to be a necessity for us to open up to ways in which we communicate with other congregations and other organizations. Now we have a kind of I think a very simple and very clear organizational and staffing structure that you'll see when the next mailing comes out that carries this out. But let's talk about the deeper question. This is one that actually Karen raises all the time. Jane raises this all the time. You know, what if we're going to be looking for the needs of the community? We're going to try to be in service. What makes us any different than a community organization? What makes this any different than a community center? And I think it's a really profound distinction that we are a church. And that has some very specific meanings, at least for me. And I'll start just by talking about this hymn. One of the hymns, we're not singing hymns today, but you may remember in our great hymnal, there's a song that goes, we laugh, we cry, we live, we die, we dance, we sing our songs. You know, it's funny about hymns and other kind of spiritual words and inspirational stuff. There are times when you can, when I can anyway, listen to these words and speak them, and they do nothing for me. You know, I can get through an entire hymn and only think about, you know, whether I'm off key or the person behind me or what I'm doing for lunch, or, you know, nothing. And then other times, you know, it hits me so deep I didn't even know what to do. And this particular hymn, before I moved to Meadville, I was a member of a church and we did a retreat in the summer, and we were at like a big outdoor camp kind of a place. We had an outdoor service just like this. And one of the things we did was we took that hymn and we would sing one verse, and then we would stop. And then a few people would get up and talk about what it means. You know, a child is born among us, and we, you know, there's a whole lifespan kind of thing in that hymn. And everybody would talk about what it meant to them. And then we'd sing it again. And to this day, 25 years later, I cannot think of that hymn without tearing up. Because it got connected to feeling, to actual deep feeling. And by feeling, what I mean is the sensation of being moved. You know, sometimes I can identify, oh, that's grief, oh, that's joy, but sometimes it's just like, I'm just moved. Like when my first grandchild was born 9 days ago, you know, I was just in tears. Joy, yeah, being moved, yeah. I mean, it was just everything all at once. That's kind of what feeling is for me. And I think, you've been around here, you know I've said this before, I think feeling is scary. I think that I do as much as we can to block ourselves from feeling it often, because it's so out of control. You know, it kind of comes over you, and I mean, it's one thing to sit and look at a sunset all by yourself and, you know, wonder at the immensity of the universe. It's another to have that happen in the middle of a bunch of people who are going to see what you look like when you are completely yourself. And yet, I think that is an essential human experience, to be in connection with that depth of feeling that we're capable of. I think it's essential. I think that any time, and obviously I do this all the time, I'm sure you do too, anytime we block ourselves from any part of real human experience, we suffer. Right? And we even do it without noticing sometimes, but we still suffer. And that goes for joy, it goes for grief, it goes for everything. This is just part of the journey, right? It's part of the human journey, is to become more whole. Now, there are different ways to have those kinds of experiences of feeling. Sometimes, you just can't help it. Something happens, somebody's born, somebody dies, you know, you get totally scared because you were in a situation like a car accident where things happen. You know, or you're just overcome by joy and connection of music or something. You know, sometimes it just comes upon you. Those are lovely experiences. But there are other times that level of feeling is accessible to us when we're open to it, and I think this is crucial, when the people around us are supportive of that. And there's a way in which a church congregation, certainly this one for me,
you know, we know each other and we support each other, but we don't have the kind of investment in each other that a parent does, for example, or a friend or a therapist, you know. So you can have those experiences with those kinds of people, but it's hard for them to kind of be present for you fully because they have their own stuff going on. And because we practice, and people have been practicing in that building over there for almost 200 years, have been practicing being with each other for joy, for grief, for transcendence, for anxiety, for anything that comes, there's something special about a congregation that lets us feel safe doing that. And it takes, it's not just the congregation, it takes practice on our parts too, and we have to be willing to let ourselves go into whatever's happening with us. But boy, it's magical, and it's so healing when that happens, because then, you know, I mean, you maybe have had that experience when you didn't even know what was wrong, and then some moment you're like, oh my God, that's what I've been feeling, and now I feel better, even when what you've been feeling is horrible. The fact that you open yourself to it allows it to move through, rather than kind of being stuck all the time. So for me, that's one of the things that a church, that our church, can offer. To me, that's why it's called a sanctuary. Right? It's a sanctuary because it's a safe place. And you can come. And it doesn't mean that every week you're going to come and have the deep, profound, spiritually moving experience or be speaking in tongues or anything like that. But it means that if it's your moment to have those experiences, you can. And you can't live in that level of feeling all the time. It's exhausting. So that's why the church is also a social organization. It's why we have coffee hours. It's why we have goofy stories. It's why we do stuff that's fun, because that's just as important in life. It's important not to be sunk into the difficulties all the time. And God knows there's so much happening in the world that part of that feeling of sanctuary is we have to be able to take refuge for at least a little while so that we can then have the strength to move out into the world and do what we can do. So for me, the important part of this new proposal that the board is coming up with is that it's a way of filling us with the energy that we need, partly by reaching out hands to other people. So in the story, it was the mail carrier. Here, it could be, who knows? It could be another organization that does similar things to us. It could be people who are very different, who are looking for a place where people can talk. We don't know yet. We've got a whole process for how we'll determine that in the proposal. You can read that. But for me, this is a way that we can offer our greatest resources, which is our building and our history and our people. People here who are already alive, who are already engaged, who are already longing to make a difference. We can find a way to do that in our bigger community, but not lose the sense of who we are individually and as a congregation. And I guess I would just finish by saying, you know, we're talking a lot about what it's like to kind of reach out to the community and all that stuff, but fundamentally, all of this, all of the spiritual depth that we're looking for is rooted only in one thing, and that's you and me. That's in my willingness to be with you and your willingness to be with me, knowing that it's going to be, sometimes it's going to be goofy and superficial, and sometimes it might be deep and profound, but to stay with each other in it. All of the spiritual depth, all of the universe, all the few are okay with the terminology, all of God, it's all right here between us. You don't have to go anywhere to find it. So what I hope is for this service, for all the services we're going to have in the future, to serve that purpose today and always. Amen. Go ahead, Jules.
It's now time to offer our financial gifts to sustain this church and its work in the community. Our Share the Plate participant this month is Women's Services.
And I might just say about this song, kind of falls into that category of goofiness. There's something about kind of, you know,
middle-class white people singing about, you know, the downtrodden, that I hope you is goofy, and I hope you'll appreciate in this. The song was brought to us by somebody else, but we really liked it, so we're gonna sing it for you. John, you gonna take us off the chair? As soon as Jennifer finds the lyrics, feel free, once you learn the chorus, feel free to sing along, because you hear the chorus several times. I had a kind of a build up there, you know, and it was, the timing is crucial, you know, in all of performance.
Just start off. I'll find it while you're telling.
You can look on mine if you want.
No, it's okay. You go ahead.
There are only three chords. They happen over and over and over again. This is in the people's key of G.
Go right ahead.
You should.
Sure.
Okay, John. 4, 5, 6. Hooray for our band of happy ragged folk, telling old stories and fireside jokes, living for the music, the love and the laugh. Hooray for the riffraff. Rockinters and bowsies, rebels and tramps, travelers who ramble from camp to camp, Dodgers and swagmen, vandals and rounders, wandering hobo town to towners. Come join the circle of jolly fools, squatters and crusties who make their own rules. Riverbed beggars, carousers and thieves, our only motto, anarchy. Hooray for a band of happy ragged folk, telling old stories and fireside jokes, living for the music, the love and the laugh. Hooray for the riffraff. Migrating drifters, buskers on the streets, minstrels and gypsies with no shoes on our feet, drovers and rovers, nomad souls, rank and feral vagabonds laying down the bedroll. Tree sifters and diggers, wobblies and the like, monkey-wrenching saboteurs, wouldn't you Luddites, boar weevils and tricksters, elves and sprites. We laugh as the dozers burn and escape into the night. Hooray for a band of happy ragged folk, telling old stories and fireside jokes, living for the music, the love and the laugh. Hooray for the riffraff. Take it away, John. Winos and drunkards, a stout drinking crew, dancing on the tables, slamming down the brews. We don't care if in the morning our heads need to be nursed. Pint after pint, there's no limit to our thirst. We come in all colors, stripes and spots, raging grannies and punkers revel in our lot. We don't care what we look like and we don't wear underwear. So go ahead and stare, we are everywhere. Hooray for a band of happy ragged folk, telling old stories and fireside jokes, living for the music, the love and the laugh. Hooray for the riffraff. Hooray for our band of happy ragged folk, telling old stories and fireside jokes, living for the music, the love and the laugh. 1, 2, 3, hooray for the riffraff. Hooray for the riff. Last time, hooray for the riffraff.
Give to remind ourselves how many gifts we have to offer. We give to remember that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We give because we believe in music and sacred space and children and all who enter the sanctuary. We give with the faith that together we have abundance. Thank you. We're extinguishing our imaginary chalice by saying these words. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we meet again. Now remember, we have coffee.
Feel free to sing along with the postlude. We simply could not resist doing this song. Inside if you'd like to. for coffee hour.
And your flowers for both.
They did.
Rich asked me to tell you, even though he's doing coffee hour, he was concerned about the chairs. If you feel that you would like to take them right back into the art room, and if you don't, we will take care of them. Please join us for coffee.
It was wonderful.
Thank you. That was fun.
It was wonderful. It's the essence to be moved. And I just have to tell you, I so appreciate what a wordsmith you are. Because when I think about so many of these things, Josh, they're so big. And then how do you bring them into, how do you choose a particular word or a particular phrase, you know?
Yeah.
And you're doing such a great job with this.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Cool.
Do it again on October 31st, if not before.
If not before.
For me, that was spectacular.
Right downwards from your sermon.
Always.
My big plan.
This was so much fun.
Yes, it was. It was a lovely way to start the day.
Oh, John, it is, isn't it?
That was fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
So, Miss Amy, once again. Always.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, look, the chairs are gone.
Ask and ye shall receive.
So, Sophia's up next week.
No pressure.
No. Believe me, I read the stuff. I work on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
It'll...